Let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 7. Scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 7, reading from the verse 21 through to the verse 29. This is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy Word. May the Lord grant us ears to hear and hearts to receive His Word by faith. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. This is God's holy word. And we look to him to bless the public reading of his precious word, and then to grant that enabling, that gracious enabling, to preach his word by his Holy Spirit. And may we hear with ears to hear. May God give us hearts to believe and to receive his word. Congregation, I direct your prayerful attention once again to these altogether famous words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. We read from the verse 21 through to the verse 29, and the Lord helping me this evening as I look to him to graciously enable me to minister his word to your souls, I begin by drawing your attention to the verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There is no greater privilege afforded to man than to worship his Creator and to hear his word read and then to hear his word preached. I say to you again, there is no greater privilege afforded to man to worship his Creator, to hear his word read and to hear his word preached. But there is no greater responsibility laid upon man than to respond to the Word of God, to heed the Word of God. Once we hear it, it is incumbent upon us. Necessity is laid upon us to keep His Word. We see this in many passages of Scripture, not only here in the verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven, but also there in Luke chapter 11 and the verse 28. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And we may put it like this, blessed are they and only they that hear the word of God and keep it. Let me repeat that. Blessed are they and only they who hear the word of God and keep it. It is a blessing to hear the word of God, but it is a curse to hear the word of God and not keep it. It is a blessing to hear it and to keep it, for it leads to eternal life. Now we know that we are not saved by the keeping of His word. But one thing in the keeping of His word, it shows whether we are a child of God, whether we have received the new birth, whether we are born again. And so he puts it in the verse 21. Notice very carefully, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You notice that, dear friend? There are many people that pray. There are many that go to church, that go to worship the Lord, and will even cry out to God in prayer and say, Lord, Lord. And he tells us in the verse 22, he says, I say unto you, many, there will be many that say, Lord, Lord, but they shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only exclusively, he says, those that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I hope tonight that we solemnly realize that as we hear the truth, truth has been vested upon us. And immediately as we hear it, we can no longer claim ignorance to His word. It's been given. And necessity is laid upon us to respond to His word. So when we hear God's word, we're in a state of knowledge. We know something. God has issued a commandment, and woe to us if we do not heed that commandment. You could be here tonight, as I see some very often are in our midst, and they're looking round and not paying attention to the word of God. And how I feel for your heart, that you're not hearing with great concern for your soul. The Lord Jesus said, take heed to how ye hear, for the measure by which ye hear, it shall be given unto you. He that hath shall receive more. And that he that hath not, even what he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him. The Lord Jesus is making very plain and very clear here that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of his Father which is in heaven. James tells us in James 4, the verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When you have heard the word of God and you do not act upon it, you are showing an utter disregard for God, no concern for your soul. And when you hear the word of God, there's nothing you can do to change it. God the Creator has spoken, and there is a reality that is before you. Necessity is laid upon you to heed that word. And that's true whether you profess to be a Christian or not. You are His creature. He is the Creator. Whether you're a Christian or not, saved or unsaved, regardless of your state, do you realize whenever a sermon is preached, a dividing line goes forth? Tonight, as this sermon is preached, a line will go out across this congregation. There will be those that will heed the word of God, and they'll be on the one side, and they are blessed. And there will be those that have come here tonight that hear the word of God and do not heed it, do not keep it, and they'll be on the other side, and they will be cursed. Do we realize that every time, and it has been that in the state of history of this world, whenever the word of God has gone out, it has brought a division. So what you do with the knowledge, or what you don't do with the knowledge, determines, my dear friend, your everlasting state, your end, your destiny. This is what it is telling us, and this is what it is telling you. And according to God's word, the Bible says we must repent. The scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 17 that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And Peter, in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 4, the verse 17, he says, for time is come the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, that is God's people, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? The gospel is to be obeyed. That's not the only text. There is another text in 2 Thessalonians 1 and the chapter 8, much quoted from this pulpit. God will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now these are the very plain statements of God. I am not making these things up, dear friends. And the word of God is unchanging. And it must be obeyed. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are they and only they. And of course the opposite is true. Cursed are they that hear the word of God and do not keep it. And in fact, cursed is every man, for every man in this world has not continued in the law of God. And actually, nobody deserves to hear the gospel. We're all by nature children of wrath, deserving God's judgment. And there will be that dividing line that goes out tonight after the sermon, those that will act upon God's word, the truth, and they will live to honor God, and there will be those that don't. And so, it is a fearful thing, because we may leave here tonight, and we may be swept away quicker than we think. As a young man, I lost many young friends very quickly in life, and I think the Lord was laying this, impressing this upon my life at a very early age. Our life, as James says, is but a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Who knows what a day may bring forth? And therefore the word of God says to us, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy Maker. And again I say to you, there may be many who are thinking here tonight, well, why will not the pastor give us a peaceful sermon? Well, I am not like as many who say, peace, peace. And there is no peace. Dear friends, we must realize that the Word of God tells us that God is angry with sinners. And sinners need to be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. And there is no peace for those who know not the Lord Jesus. And I would be a most cruel and unkind minister of the Word of God if I did not tell you the truth. If you walked into the doctor and he knew that you had cancer, he's seen the x-rays, he's surveyed them, he's met with his consultants or the consultants at the hospital, and they've all confirmed this man, this woman, has a tumor upon his kidneys, his lungs, and he is racked with cancer. But he hid that truth from you. Would you say that he was a kind doctor? Would you say that he deserves to be called a doctor? You would say no. Well, God's word tells us very clearly in his word time and time again that we are sinners destined for the wrath of God unless we're saved. And I realize that the message of the gospel does divide people. There are many people that will not come into our meetings because it's too serious. Because it's not, oh, everything's okay with the Lord, just do some good works and you'll be saved. No. It's the message of truth that people need to hear. And even in our families, we know the Lord Jesus said he has not come to bring peace. He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and against daughter and against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. When we try to warn our family and our friends of the wrath to come, well, the Lord reminds us that we're not to expect a friendly countenance. We're not to expect happy words, pleasant words coming from other people. But we would be most unloving family members if we didn't tell them the truth. And so we must. This word will not only divide those who hear and do, but maybe even divide those who are very near and dear to us, because it is the truth. And the truth is, you must hear it, for you will resent us in eternity of hell if you do not hear it. And we would have you hear the truth. And so, what is the context of the verse 21 and the preceding verses that we see right through to the verse 29? Well, the Lord Jesus is concluding his sermon here on the Mount, and he has been teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And what he's doing here, as he draws now to a close at this sermon, he is making absolutely clear that we will fall into one or two of these groups. Those that hear, and those that do not hear. You notice there is not a third, there is not a fourth group. There are those that hear the word of God and do the word of God, and there are those that do not do. And you notice the verse 21 is this statement. Many will say, he says in the verse 22, and he says here, the verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day. There will be many, friends. Many that will not enter. And that ought to solemnize our hearts. And so what will be the result? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are those that have a form of religion. They have a form of godliness, but they do the things that they want, not what God says. They want a little bit of religion, and they want to fashion their lives how they want. They'll have a Savior, or they'll say they belong to the Lord Jesus. They'll even say, Lord, Lord, and they will do lots of things. They'll have lots of wonderful ideas, and they'll be full of gusto and everything else, but really, when you look at their lives, they are just following what they want to do. And it's an indictment upon the stiff-necked, upon those who will not yield and submit to God's word. And they will hear these awful words from the lips of the Lord Jesus. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, what is the iniquity? The iniquity is that they didn't do what he said. They did their own thing. Now, I say once again that salvation is the gift of God. It is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. We're saved by his atoning death, by his righteousness, by his merits. And if that is true, there is a righteousness imparted that comes out of the life. There are fruits of righteousness. There is a changed heart, there is a humble soul, there is a disposition that is toward God. You see, grace is never alone. Saving grace always has fruits of righteousness. You can read them for yourself, Galatians 5:22. They're all there. And we have to ask, do we have those? Do we yield to God? Is there faith, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and such the like, as we read? Where there is saving grace, there is obedience to God. There are some that sing that hymn. You know it all well. We often sing it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust this sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, many people, they sing that hymn and they think that's it. Here's the rock. Here are the two wise builders. And they think, well, my salvation is built on faith in Christ, and that's it, I'm saved. No, no. That's only part of it. There are many that will say, Lord, Lord, but they didn't do what the Lord Jesus Christ said in their lives. And that's the dividing line, isn't it? That is what he's getting at in the verse 21. It's not Christ is my rock, and therefore I have salvation, just because, well, salvation, as I said, will be proven in the life. There is an imparting of righteousness. And really, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in the verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Now, in order to demonstrate this, what he does is he gives a very vivid illustration or a parable so that even the younger child can understand. And he does this by drawing a comparison between two men. Notice the verse 24 through to the verse 27. Therefore, in the light of what he said, in the light of this judgment day, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that is, all that I have taught, and that is everything really in the Bible, because he is the author of this word, and doeth them, and that's the thread, doers of the word, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And now here is this other man, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, the verse 26, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, he sets before us two builders and two houses. They set out to do this. There are those, he says, that hear and do. That's the wise man. And there are those that hear and do not do. That is the foolish man. So these houses, these buildings, the first man, we're told here, was wise. When we think about him, he took his time. He didn't rush. He considered. This is a serious thing. I must build wisely. My house, in which is my body, and in my body is my soul, and I shall have to stand before God. I must not be careless. I must build wisely. And so he doesn't do his own thing. There again, that's the thread. He follows the rules of building. He follows the proper regulations. There are scientific laws that must follow. You build on something solid, it will stand. You build on something shifting, the building will not stand. He followed the basic rules and principles of building. Now, if you turn just quickly to Luke chapter 6, the verse 48, there is an extra detail that is not listed here in Matthew chapter 7. We hear again of this wise man. The Lord says he is like a man which built an house and dig deep. Do you notice that? He dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. It says he dig deep. He took great pains. He considered this matter, and he spent considerable effort, investment, in laying this foundation. And then he found a rock, and he laid the foundations thereupon. And that's so true for us as Christians. We have found this rock by grace, the Lord Jesus. And we lay our lives upon his word. That's the rock. That's the stability, the word of Christ. And then we say, right, yes, it's safe to build now. Here is something permanent. Here is something solid. Here is something that I can put my full trust in. But you notice the other man, the fool, in the verse 26, he seemed not to care about things. He was very flippant. Seems that he just builds straight away. The first place he can find, the nearest place. And everyone, the verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Here this foolish man It seemed like things went up much quicker. He didn't give much regard to his life, to what he was doing, how he was conducting himself, and he didn't think about the future. He just thought, I'll build this house and I'll get on with life. It's not important. But of course, a house is very important, isn't it? Absolutely. And he invested, it seems, nothing in the foundation. Nothing. Wasn't important. The house was more important. His own life. We don't know the details. His men are given these building projects, and perhaps the man spent more on the actual house than the foundation. But what a foolish thing. To illustrate how we build our lives, let me just take you for a moment to 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 11. The Lord says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. And so he is illustrating here that really Christ is the foundation, and that building upon him is really our lives. So building means really how we've lived, how we've framed our lives, how we've conducted ourselves, and the principles by which we've lived, the decisions we've made. Hear me. And why we made those decisions. That is what it is to build upon this rock. What sort of a house have we built? Is it built on the foundation of the teaching of Christ's word? Because this is what he's saying. He that hears my word is like a man that is built upon a rock. The rock of truth. The things that I have said. And he that builds, that has no regard for me, is like a man who has framed and built his life upon shifting sand. Has no regard for me. Has not based his or her decisions based on my sayings. Based on my word. And there are plenty of people like this, even in the church, sadly. There are people who do their own thing. Remember, that's the context. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he that doeth my sayings. Here is the wise builder, and that's interesting, isn't it? He connects the will of the Father to his words. The will of the Father to his words. And the person that hears Christ's word and doesn't fashion and frame his or her life by that word is the foolish man, the foolish woman, the foolish person. In fact, the word here in the Greek, and it's not being rude, is the word moron, is a person that doesn't have a head. Foolish. And that is how foolish it is to come into the word, the house of God, to hear his word and not to frame your life by it. Do you realize, friend, what curse awaits you? As I said, every sermon that goes out brings a dividing line. There will be those that are doers of the word and those that are not doers of the word. They both hear. Can you imagine Solomon building the temple of God and not following the instructions of God? God gave him very, very clear instructions to build that temple. Likewise, can you imagine Noah building that gigantic ark and not following the instruction of God. My, what a fool he would have been to build that ark not under the instruction of God. And how foolish it is, friends, to hear the words of Christ and not to live by them, not to frame your life by them. And the church is full of such people. They hear the word of God, and as Ezekiel says, God says to him, they love to hear your word. It's like beautiful music to their ears. But there's no change. How foolish to hear God's word and nod your head. Yeah, yes, pastor, no, pastor, three bags full, pastor. And not to frame your life by this word. I say to you, the hurt will be yours, not mine. I am to be as Ezekiel, as a watchman over the house of God, and to warn you. And if I am not warning you, I am told by God Himself in His word that that blood of yours will be upon me. Dear friend, when we become a Christian, we frame our lives by the word of Jesus Christ. We frame our lives by this word. Everything that it says, all of its dictates, because it's good for us. Because we have solidness and we have lasting joys. And those that are founding their lives upon this rock will tell you likewise that they've never had it so good, that they're never so happy. Now, how it grieves us that so many hear the word of God and do not do it. Now, of course, the Christian never perfectly does the word of God. This is why he needs Jesus Christ. But you see, his overarching emphasis on his life, his overarching desire, is to obey the one who died for him, who went to Calvary. And you know, there are many, and I ask you with Judgment Day honesty here tonight, would you, friend, stop to consider how you're building your life? How are you making your decisions, friend? Financial, ethical, everything. Is your life founded upon the words of Jesus Christ? Because if it's not, you will hear those words, I never knew. You didn't care about my word. You didn't care. You're not my disciple. Do you see the picture? It is so vivid. And how it frightens me. And you, if you are a child of God, when you see people, they don't have God's word as the focus, as the fulcrum of their lives, it is shifting sand. Because not only do we see them fall, and occasionally the building starts to move, and when things go wrong in their lives, they wonder why. But in the great day of judgment, dear friends, that building will collapse because you had no regard for Christ. He is the Creator. He is the Maker. And He knows what is good for our lives. He knows what is good for us. The wise man stopped to consider. And I tell you this, I believe this when he, not only an illustration, but as he began to build, there were no cracks in the walls. Because that foundation was never shifting, was solid. And so when he went in, he knew when that storm came, it would hold. And we know this, don't we? If we are Christ, we've trusted his word through our life. And we know we will hear those words, yes, welcome. You trusted in me. You built your life upon my word. You trusted in me. Therefore, whosoever, the verse 24, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Now, let me ask you, friend, tonight, what is it that shapes your life? What is it that governs you? What is the rule of your life? Is it your whims? What is it? Someone might say the word. Well, friend, can you show me by your works that it's the word? Many people say the word of God. Okay. Well, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? If I spent the whole week with you, or somebody spent the whole week with you, would they be able to say, this woman, this man fashions and frames his whole life by the word of God? Would they be able to say that? Not perfectly, of course. But is that the disposition of your soul? Because if it's not, friend, let me say, you're a foolish builder, and you will come to a great fall. We notice here, great was the fall. The psalmist in Psalm 62, the verse 6 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. And so we've seen the houses. Now there's the trial. What is the trial? We read here of the rain that came down, and it beat in both cases. You compare the verse 25 to the verse 27, it is the exact same horrendous blast, tempest coming upon both houses. And there is a picture, dear friends, of Judgment Day. The great storm of God's judgment. But you know what is the result? Only one house is standing. It's the house of the man who built his life upon Jesus Christ by doing what Jesus Christ said, and not by hearing only, being thus self-deceived. That's the trial, that's the test, the great storm arose. But it's true about life. We can bring it into the immediate. We think the Bible, because the Bible does tell us about the storms of life. In fact, in the Psalm 58, we read, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. There David is speaking about oppression from people, troubles of life. In Isaiah 25:4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. This is what the Lord is to his people in this life. He is our rock. He is our strength. And the test so often is in this life. We're all going to face difficulties like the rest of people in the world because of the fall in Adam. We all experience bereavement. We experience troubles, illnesses, all kinds of things. But what is our rock? Where is our hope? If it's not God. And we fret about and we have no comfort. I say, we have reason to question your salvation, whether your life is built on Christ. But often people fall and they stumble in this world who would say that they're Christians. They are falling and stumbling, and the house is cracking even right now because they are not framing and fashioning their lives upon the teaching of God's word, the word of Christ. And be sure of it, friend. It's a sure sign that you will collapse. You will come to a great demise on the day of the Lord. Be sure of it. Only one house stood. And I say this, only those who are Christ's will stand in that great day. And you know what? They will never take pride in themselves. They will say, the Lord has been my rock throughout my life. It's not me. I didn't do this. It is all glory to God. All glory to the Savior. But fools, let me say, are proud. I say there's nothing more proud than to come to church, to hear God's word, and to do your own thing. There's nothing more proud. Because what you're saying is, God, what you're saying is not important. And I don't care what you say. And let me say this, friend. God will be right to cast you away. God will be right. The winds and the floods swept it away. And so that is the great lesson. One house standing, the other completely gone. What a solemn lesson. But have we learnt anything here tonight, really, with regards to our own lives? What if you say to me, Pastor, but listen, I don't know. I've tried and I've tried to do these things. Well, what is the answer for you? Well, it may be that you're not born again. And I point you, therefore, to the verse 13. Very solemn verse. This is where you need to begin. Enter ye in at the strait gate. That's where you begin. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Friends, on that broad road, everybody like you are doing their own thing. Some say, Lord, Lord, but they do not do as God says. You're on the broad road. If you hear and you do not do, I say to you, don't deceive yourself. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And God's command through the lips of the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, says, enter ye in at the straight, the narrow, the constricted gate. It's a narrow gate. Why is it a narrow gate? You must take off all pride. You cannot get through that gate, friend, with your own desires. Jesus said, if a man will not deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. You must lay all aside your own agenda, and you must enter in. He said, I am the door. If any man enter therein by, he may be saved. You see, it's all of God, but you must strip of self, self-will, deny yourself. And it is a narrow gate that leads down a narrow way. Yes, it's a narrow way of His Word. It's that foundation. Do as I say, not as you will. And you say, Lord, yes, not my will, but your will be done. That's the life. And that's where you begin. But the broad road, friends, there's the foolish man. I'll do everything my way. I'll build my house where I want. I'll design my life how I want. You not tell me. The church will not tell me. The minister will not tell me. The Bible will not tell me how to live. I'll live how I want. I say, friend, your end will be destruction. It's a solemn message. Very simple, but very solemn. Will you hear God's word? It all comes down to obedience, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus said, for I say unto you, except that your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Dear friends, we must have more than the scribes and the Pharisees. All they had was hypocrisy. When salvation comes, there is truly a righteousness imparted, a desire to please Jesus Christ, a love for Him that compels us to do so. We must keep His commandments. We must be doers of His word and not hearers only. We must be wise as the wise builder founded his life upon the word of God. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Where do you begin? You begin by repenting and entering through that narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man, he says, cometh to the Father but by me. Let me ask you, friend, are you in the way? You say, yeah, well, I think I'm in the way. I believe Jesus. Yeah, well, so does the devil. So does the devil. And so will there be many that will say, Lord, Lord. But they don't hear the words. Sorry, I never knew you called me Lord. But you never did what I said. I say the things tonight in love, because as a shepherd, I care for the souls of those that are before me. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that Thou might seal it to our hearts, that we might do the works of God, to believe upon Thy Son, and to go on obeying Him in our lives. We thank Thee that we are saved by grace. We thank Thee for the grace that abides in Thy people when we are saved. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.